Hey, welcome back, everyone, to the Stadium Journey Podcast. Thanks for joining us this evening. Check out the website, stadiumjourney.com. We are the world leader in sports travel information. We've got reviews of over 2,500 stadiums from all around the world. Social media, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Threads, and probably a whole bunch more. We're easy to find at Stadium Journey. Like, share, and follow, right? If you want to find episodes, older episodes of the Stadium Journey Podcast, simply type in HIAC Talk Radio Network wherever you find your favorite podcast, and we'll be there. And if you would rather watch a podcast rather than just listen, not something you can do while you're driving in your car, but, you know, say you're sitting down. If you want to watch us, go to Stadium Journey's YouTube channel. All the podcasts are there. Back years and years and years. We've been doing this so long. If you want to be part of the studio audience as we tape live, join us every other Monday night at 7 p.m., 7:30 p.m.-ish. We're ironing that out right now. Anywhere on Dan's social media empire, we'll bring you to the recording. So let me take a minute before we get started, introduce the gang. Dave Cotney's here. Follow him at ProFan9. Mark Viquez can be found on the internet at Ballpark Hunter. The above average comedian, Dan Colachico's here. Follow him at DanLaw83. And I'm Paul Baker. You can follow me at PuckmanRI. And so tonight we're happy again. We got our old buddy here. Every time the Arena Football League folds or starts over again, we contact our resident arena football expert, Tim Capper, our old buddy. So please welcome Tim back to the show. I think this is now what, Tim, like the 15th time you've been on for us?
I'm expecting a five time shirt like you get for hosting a Saturday Night Live. So I expect that in the mail soon. So
we got to do something like that. We'll give you our old lousy hats that they give all of us.
That's okay. What do you mean they? You're they.
Don't look behind the curtain, please.
Paul, I don't know if you know this, but you are the boss.
In title only, I am a paper puppet regime.
You said it. Paper champion, Paul Baker.
But anyway, seriously, folks, we got some AFL news, and what did we do right away? We said, hey, it's time to get Tim back on. So thanks for joining us, Tim.
My pleasure, as usual, guys. I love joining the crew, talking about everything AFL. It's been an interesting four or five years since the league folded.
Has it been that long?
2019.
You're right before COVID.
Yeah.
They lucked out.
I was going to say, it's like they knew.
the Arena Football League was behind COVID.
Yeah. That's why it was called COVID-19. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I've talked about it ad nauseum with a bunch of some other podcasts too. And I'm trying to bring a different script with me tonight, because I know, you know, we can keep everything, you know, on the lowdown, right? You know, anything I tell you guys will be kept in secrecy, right? Except for the people listening. Hey,
well, yeah, nobody watches us, so yeah, nobody will know.
It's between us and the three people watching.
I'm looking forward to it. As I said, it's everything's still not perfect, but I mean, it's less than 2 weeks away from kickoff. Let's put it that way. Less than two weeks,
really?
Yeah, April 27th.
It shows where my radar is regarding arena football.
So,
well, I guess my question, like, how do you feel? Like, does this feel like legit Arena Football League operation, or are you getting a sense of the National Arena League or the American Indoor
Arena? Oh, dear God, no.
some of these logos I'm seeing, I'm like, oh, I don't know.
I get that, but I can say, and I've said this many a time, and it's not because I believe it, because I've continuously said it. It's because I actually do believe what I'm saying here, is that the group that is currently running the Arena Football League with Travell Gaines and with Lee Hutton, who is the commissioner, Travell Gaines is the CEO. I have the utmost, what they are doing is right. I have so much, these guys are just doing so much behind the scenes that a lot of things that people don't know about, but I have so much respect for what these guys have done. You know, this has been a labor of love since, you know, a lot of people don't know that this thing actually unofficially launched back in September of 2022. In you know, they were able to keep this thing quiet. Hey, can you actually keep a thing quiet in Las Vegas? I mean, really? They had a whole huge launch party in Las Vegas in September of 2022, and I didn't learn about it until I think it was January. So, I mean, what they're doing so far is spot on. Spot on. And I, you know, is everything perfect? No. No. But is any league ever perfect? No. So, well, I guess NFL might be perfect, but I mean,
how long it took them to become perfect.
Yeah. But I mean, this is something different. I mean, it is a brand. Technically, it is a brand new league. If you think about it, some of the stuff that they have scheduled so far, and some of the things coming up in the very near future, whether it be a docuseries that they are producing, or the television broadcasters, which so far they announced two of them. I'm sure we'll talk about that tonight, but it's not been perfect, but I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to being in Albany for the kickoff of their broadcast partner on Saturday, the 27th. So.
Yeah. That's an old school matchup, isn't it?
Yeah. Albany and Orlando. Yeah. Yeah, right. And it's actually the 25th year since Albany beat Orlando. Will be the 25th year.
99.
Yeah, when Albany won their first Arena Bowl back in Arena Bowl 13. So
you know, old school hardcore fans would look at the list of teams and see some familiar names, see some familiar markets with different names. But I think they'll also find like a whole lot of other markets. Like if I'm looking at the list, what I would say major markets, you know, Minnesota, Nashville, Philly, well, you know, Georgia, I guess, Orlando. But there's a distinct lack of big markets at this point. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Is that a key to success, or do you think that's going to be a mistake?
But what do you consider quote unquote big markets though?
Well, you don't have a Southern California at all. Do you have California? You don't have California at all.
No, that's because of workman's comp.
Okay. You don't have a New York at all. You're pressing pause on Chicago. It's not quite there yet.
Yeah, you do have technically Portland because they're out of Salem, but I mean technically you do have and you have Washington. That's Washington. Salem. I'm trying to think of where these teams are located.
Louisiana instead of New Orleans, right? It's Baton Rouge, correct?
No, they're actually Lake Charles.
Lake Charles, okay.
Yeah.
But you have that name, you have that image, the voodoo, which is nice to see return.
Yeah, and I think it just goes to, you know, some of these markets, they're not in their normal locales where the legacy teams used to be, is because of, I guess it's how they wanted to start. I mean, they don't necessarily find that you have to have an arena that's, you know, 15,000 people. Sometimes you might be able to do it anywhere between a 7.5 and a 10,000 capacity. You know, I think Albany is a good example. I mean, Albany holds no more than 14, if I'm not mistaken. So it's something brand new. A lot of these cities too do have legacy they are legacy markets, so to speak, but you know, with the CIF teams coming in, with the CIF folding and then them basically being enveloped by the AFL, it's brought in some markets that have had football for a long time too. So like Billings and for Salina. I think it's a plus. It's a plus to have these teams in there because they've already know what they're doing. So it's just a matter of how these other teams are going to do in their markets, and will they be there in 2025 or will there be some shifting? But that's what we'll have to see. I mean, it's not like the normal AFL of old where it is, you know, it's 14, 16, 18 weeks, and then you go into the playoffs for Arena Bowl. It's a 10-week sprint. it's a 10-week sprint for, you know, 10-week regular season, 2 weeks in the playoffs, and then Arena Bowl. So,
and that's how it was, you know, up until what, 1991, you played a 10 game or eight to 10 game season. And you're mm-hmm. right, top four teams would make the playoffs. You had small markets such as Albany, and, you know, I remember Fort Worth being in there one time. So I kind of like it's going back to like the essence of arena football at one time. And, you know, I'm excited that it's back. I'm going to be looking forward to it myself. I just wish there was a team closer to me. I mean, there's an indoor football league coming to Indianapolis next year, but it's not the same thing. So,
no. And I think a lot of people are questioning too, you know, 16 teams. What the hell's, you know, what the hell's with that? But, you know, in 2010, when the league was reborn for the second time, whatever it was, they had 16 teams too, it was a combination of AFL markets and AF2 markets at that time. But mm-hmm. but there are a lot of similarities, you know, like television, you know, their broadcast partner. There's a lot of similarities, but this is slightly different, obviously, because it seems that even though fans seem to be complaining when it comes to certain things, you know, how things are not being released, they're not doing it in a timely manner, arenas aren't being released, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's just a matter of just being patient. You know, I've tried to keep a level head with all this because I am lucky to be able to converse with, you know, the league CEO. I'm able to converse with Commissioner Hutton and to find out what's what. You know, sometimes I do know things and I just can speculate, you know, because I have to speculate. I can't really tell anybody anything I know. So,
see, Tim may not be a made guy, but he's a connected guy.
He's connected.
Connected guy. I just noticed this. Dan, you'll love this. The Philly team isn't even in Philly.
No, they're Trenton.
They're in Trenton.
Where teams go to die.
I hate the logo. I'm not.
I like the uniforms. I don't. Yeah, the logo is odd, but
no. I
which one is Philly?
It's like that
exactly.
It's that S.
It's the S.
The and uniforms the S. are nice. Oh, the soul. Out of the uniforms you guys are showing on Arena Fan, I do like that one a lot.
Yeah, that's one of the nicer ones too. It's and I think a lot of them. I don't necessarily want to, and I haven't been able to confirm this, but I think some of them are potentially not necessarily placeholders, but it may be a one of three. Let's put it that way. So it's, you know, everybody's saying, well, they're all black, they're all this, right? You know, they have no color to them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I actually think that there is a reason behind that. So we'll find out. We'll find out throughout the season itself, because I do know some things have been planned when it comes to theme nights within the league itself. So
yes. Now, what markets are you excited to see in the league? Like, hey, let's. I want to see how the fans. I want to see how ownership, you know, reacts and how the people and how that vibe becomes. Like, because some of these are new markets. Like Nashville hasn't had a team in a while, and
yeah.
Salem hasn't had a team. Which one strike you? Like, hey, I'm going to be paying attention to this one more than others.
I'm going to be paying attention to the legacy markets. I'm very curious to see. And this is just something that I've noticed especially for Albany as an example. You know, they had the Firebirds up until yeah. And then they moved to Indianapolis, but when they got their AF2 team almost immediately, you saw a drop off in how fans enjoy, you know, how fans attended the games. Mm-hmm. Did the same thing when, you know, then they AF2 folded, but then they came back in the AFL again, and you saw how the crowds came back. I've always said that I think Albany is a quote unquote major league city. And I think that they will, I mean, they really did not support the NAL's version of the Empire, but they did support the AFL version of the Empire. I think they are an arena football city. They know what is arena football and what is not. So,
yeah, they want to see those rebound nets, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they had it in the NAL. The NAL actually ended up bringing it to the game itself. I don't know if it really made that much of a difference because their kickers really could, you know, couldn't really do much about, you know, when it came to hitting the nets, which is a huge part of the game itself, in my opinion. But, you know, it's, you talk about the other ones. I'm curious to see what Minnesota does. It's their first team since the Minnesota Fighting Pike. The team actually happens to be owned by the commissioner's wife, by the way. She's the first Latina to own a pro football franchise. I'm curious to see. I think Orlando would do well. Nashville, I think, will do well. They've done everything top notch from top to bottom. I mean, Jeff Fisher is actually involved in this franchise. So is Eli Gold, if anybody remembers, follows college football and you know, SEC and Alabama football. You know, Eli Gold's going to be the voice, their radio voice this year. Mm-hmm. You know, he is, it's, you know, I think they're doing it well too. I mean, they're doing it right. They're one of the franchises, but some of the other ones, you know, I think Salina will be okay. I think Billings will be okay. I'm just curious to see how these other two teams out in the West Coast do. The smaller arenas, they do have, one has a kind of a pedigree to it. I think Oregon has kind of a pedigree when it comes to arena football. So does Washington, actually, because they're just on the outskirts, technically, of Everett. So, and that was an AF2 franchise. So I think just overall, I think I just want to make sure that all 16 teams start and all 16 teams finish. That, to me, that's really what I want to see.
Yes.
I think that's really all that matters, is that show that you can draw, you know, legitimately draw.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll, you know, we'll see. As I said, we'll cut 2 weeks. We'll find out with the first home games for a lot of these teams. So
now, does everybody have their own turf, or are we going to see some of the old turf with erased logos? Is it legit brand new?
They're not doing what the IFL did. The IFL has partnered with a company in Canada for their new turf, which actually really does look good. I don't know what's happening with some of these new teams. I do know that a new set of their net system has been created. It's very, very unique, where it's, they're actually almost put together like Legos. That's the best way, I guess, we can describe it. Legos, and then there's clips that hold everything into place, so they're a hell of a lot lighter. Stop. Okay. You'd have to see it. You'd have to see it to really understand. But to me, that's the best way to describe what these new rebound nets are going to look like. But turf, I think we're going to see some of the older turf, unfortunately. It's not what I would want to see. But for all we know, something's in plan for 2025. But Albany, I think, will be okay. Orlando already has theirs. Salina, I've seen. Some of the others I've seen too, like Iowa, which is out of where's Iowa out of? The city has escaped me. Besides being the city, the state of Iowa, but yeah, but
so then yeah,
Council Bluffs.
There we go. Thank you, Council Bluffs. So, but yeah, I don't think it's going to be all new turf across the league. I think more or less it's going to be more rebound than the net systems than anything else.
Okay, that's good to know.
But can't be any worse than what we've seen for some of the other alphabet leagues.
Oh my goodness! There was one league game that had to be canceled because there wasn't enough turf to spread out. So you hate to see, but at the same time, it's kind of expected. So we're not going to have any of those shenanigans in the AFL. This is a legit operation.
Yeah,
not going to be like Louisville a few years ago that had like five people come to the game and they just said, "Okay, we're going to close up shop."
Yeah, and I know the one you're talking about, the Mississippi Raiders.
I
saw that. That was that was just so bad.
Yeah, and then, you know, speaking of Philadelphia, I know we had a writer for Stadium Journey, Stephen Key. He went to a Jersey Flight game, and I think they bounced around a couple leagues. He said he liked the environment there. It was a lot of fun, but I'm just, you know, Trenton is one of those arenas where they have had a lot of indoor football teams. They've had a Legends Football League. They've had hockey there. Things don't seem to click. You know, Do you know why they decided to go to Trenton, not stay in Philly? Was that just because costs? That was the perfect size arena. They couldn't.
Well, I think initially they wanted to play at Wells Fargo, but I think it is the cost of it. From my understanding, just for rent alone at Wells Fargo is $150,000 a game, and that's not including the union fees and stuff like that for the for setup and takedown. And it was, it's busy. I think it's one of the busiest arenas on the East Coast, if I'm not mistaken. So they had to find an alternate locale. So they chose with Trenton. Obviously, they could have gone to Atlantic City, which I would have loved.
Yeah.
They've gone. Allentown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could have gone to Allentown too. But I think this, I think this will be fine, even if it is just a one-year thing. They just need to get it announced because of all the issues that happened during the off season, where they're trying to get these dates and they're being held, or we're just going to wait. Philly's only going to have 3 home games this year. So, and that'll be the kind of the back end of the season itself. But all teams are going to have home games this year. It's just going to be an unbalanced schedule for most of the teams.
So, if I'm looking at the list here, there's actually only 2 that I would say major league arenas. There's Target Center,
mm-hmm,
and the Kia Center, which,
yep,
used to it's be Orlando, the Amway Center.
Yeah, it's Orlando.
Everything else is not an NBA or an NHL arena. And if you think about it, both of these arenas have only one main tenant. Neither, mm-hmm, of them have both a hockey team and a basketball team. Actually, they're both basketball only. So, it could be too with the some of the reports we've seen out of the former Arizona Coyotes arena in Glendale, where apparently they're making way more money than they ever did with the Coyotes with a tenant. Some of these big arenas might want to, we're not really, really making money in the winter. So to bring in another kind of major tenant like that, why would we when we could just run concert series?
Yeah.
And that's when we make our money.
I would include, I know it's not really major league, but I'd probably include Albany in there too. Yeah, because Albany, as I said, it holds what, 15,000? So 14,000. And there's only one other tenant, well, besides Siena Sports. It's the Albany Firewolves of the NLL.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost done. So, yeah.
Oh wow,
yeah. So I mean, what you say makes sense. Again, I think there are a lot of arenas that wanted to be played in this year that, for logistical reasons, they could not. They couldn't get the dates. They couldn't get as many dates as they wanted. They wanted to make sure that there was a home for each of these teams. And I know, Philly Soul fans are not happy about having to go to Trenton, but you're still getting home games. You know what I mean? And it may just be for 2024. But again, it may be also cost too. I mean, let's say the Cure Insurance Arena in Trenton is only charging 30 grand. You're still saving 120, if you wanted to play at Wells Fargo.
When you were talking about these new nets,
mm-hmm,
Are they easier from a facility standpoint to set up?
I know they're lighter. That I do know. I know a friend of mine who actually he was able to get a look at the nets before they were constructed and put together. I haven't seen, the only time that I've seen them right now is them actually installing them. If you look around some of the social media pages for some of these teams, you'll see that they have shown pictures of them putting them up. In the old days, 87 and the early days of the Nets, they folded in half. They literally folded in half in order to put them up and take them down. That's not the case with these, from what I'm seeing. They're so much lighter that It's a completely different way to install these things than it was in the past.
Do they still hang?
They do.
Okay, so you still got to have guys up in the roof.
Yes, and that's that's a question too with some of these smaller arenas also. What how much of a kicking game is there actually going to be? You know, to be fair, it could be worse. All the games that I've seen so far, the nets have been installed properly. It's not like it's not like the joke of how these teams have been hanging them in the NAL. You know, which they're another eight feet or whatever it is beyond above what they actually should be, you know? So it seems like they're doing it right. You know, there are a couple of nitpicks on my end, but I mean, we still have 2 weeks left. So my hope is that they get them painted because it just looks a little weird.
Do you see in this list of teams that we've got starting in 2 weeks, do you see a market that you think is going to be like a dark horse successful market that you maybe we didn't really see it? Like, I think everybody expects, you know, Albany to do well as a market and Philadelphia to do well. And like, is there one there that you kind of think, yeah, they're going to do well, but maybe not everybody is thinking?
Well, I think the old CIF teams will do well. I think Salina will do well. I think Billings will do well. I'm not so sure about Iowa. I'm not so sure about Wichita might, because they've had a team before in the AF2 and they've had indoor football before. I hope Minnesota does well. I mean, they only got, you know, the Fighting Pike were one and done, you know, and they've, I mean, their head coach is their former quarterback. So I can't complain with that. I don't know. We'll see.
It was at Ricky Foggy, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see, you know, it's kind of funny. Every now and then I see a local broadcast talking about the team, and it looks like in Minnesota they're getting a little bit of attention. Love that logo and uniform. And I hope they are supported, because you're right, they were one and done 1996, and I'm not quite sure what happened, but I remember that was the time when the AFL was expanding all over the place. I was in New Jersey getting ready for the Red Dogs, so you know, hopefully they start doing that again. It's I'm a little bit indifferent. I want to see what happens. I want to see some packed houses. I want to see some great marketing. I also want to see some great football. I mean, I want to see those rebound nets. I want to see some new innovations. Anything come in that's different that we haven't seen before in this league in terms of rules?
Some of the indoor game indoor rules are being they're being adopted by the AFL. You're going to be seeing the deuce. That's one of the new kicking rules. Yeah, if you don't know what that is, it's where you do a kickoff, and if it goes through the uprights, you get 2 points. They're going to be bringing also. They've called it the Uno, and they've called it the Rouge. It's a single point that the other team, the receiving team, would get if a kickoff does not go to the nets, if it goes out of bounds on the fly. I think that's what the rule is. So the other team, you'll get a single point. A lot of the rules are basically the same. You know, they are bringing back the full 1 minute timing rules. You know, 2019 they had changed the rule where it was the 30-second timing rules, which really took away from the game itself. But I'm glad they brought that back, because as anybody has seen arena football before in the past, the last minute of each half are always seen to be the most exciting part of the game itself. And they will be bringing back, but it's going to be slight of a twist to the 1 minute timing rules, where they're, you know, earlier that they 2019 rules, you could kneel down and end a game. You can agree on, depending on if you're up by 25 points, the 1 minute timing rules can be waived and the clock will just run. Trying to think of some other things.
To Iron Man.
They are.
Now we're talking.
This is full Iron Man football. This is full Iron Man football. So I can't disagree. I love this idea. The guys are going to have to get used to it. You know, I mean, they're playing Iron Man football, I think, to an extent. Or no, are they playing Iron Man football in the NAL now? I know they've been doing it for the last couple of years in the NAL. But one of the things that I hate is they're actually bringing sudden death overtime, which I'm going to hate. Because I've always been a proponent, you know, especially in the NFL too. Same thing with the CFL is that every team should get at least one chance to score. Well, if your kicker is a good enough kicker and can kick a deuce to kick off overtime, it's done. Game's over. So.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So I was floating around in the interwebs on the Instagram, and I was on the official AFL Instagram site, and there was a little trailer for a little, I think it was like a history of kind of documentary or something.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, there's this Tim Capper guy all jazzed up in his little jacket and suit, looking good. Okay, what's up with this, Tim? You got to give us the lowdown on this doc that you are featured in.
Well, this docuseries is something I mentioned before. This is something that the league has actually been promoting from day one. You know, the commissioner wanted to have an entire, you know, docuseries that showed from throughout the entire season that basically goes over, you know, how the league came back, wants to include history into it itself. So I was contacted. I knew they wanted me to be a part of it. I think they contacted me in early February or was it early March? I have to go back and check and see what day I posted that page on my Facebook page. But they asked me to be a part of it, and we did it here. The AD came here to Montreal, we sat down for like 70 minutes, 80 minutes, and just asked me questions. And I don't know how much of it's going to be used. I was told that I was going to be a part of the teaser trailer, but I don't know what else is going to be used. So I'm pumped for it. I think it's pretty cool. You know,
all of Canada is going to watch now.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, considering I got to find out when it's going to be on and what channel. I would imagine it is going to be on one of their national broadcasters, but we'll find out. I mean, will it play before first episode? Will it play before the kickoff or on NFL Network? I don't know. I haven't gotten that information yet, but I don't know. I know once I do have it, I'm going to pass it along because I'm like, you know, let me know where it's going to be shown, and you know, how can I show other people where it's going to be on?
It's like Tim Capper, star of 30 for 30 Arena Football.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't want to consider it a Hard Knocks type of series, but I mean, it's going to be a docu-series. It's not just a single episode. I'm curious. As I said, I don't know what else is going to be in it. I mean, I know what I talked about. I talked about the history, but other than that, I have no clue who else is going to. I would imagine the commissioner and Travell and you know, and stuff like that. But we'll see what else is going to be on the docuseries.
Is the founder still kicking around? The guy who was it Foster?
Yeah,
Foster.
Yeah, Jim Foster. Yeah, he's around. I'm guessing, because I know that the league has already promoted that they're going to have some sort of ceremony or whatever they're going to be having for the first game of the year. That's going to be on NFL Network. That's the Albany Orlando game. I know there's going to be some Hall of Famers that are going to be there. Some people that are really tied. So they're really embracing everything about the league. This may be a league that is technically a new league, as I said before, but you know, they're embracing everything. They're embracing the full history of this thing. And then as you can tell from the, you know, the different little bits that they've put out on social media and stuff like that, that they're really embracing it. So I think Jim is on the list to attend, but I need to find out what's happening, because I know that I want to do something for either be for Arena Fan or help with the league itself. Do a pregame show or something like that before kickoff. But I got to find out. I got to reach out and see who else has been. I know of one person that's been invited. I don't know if they're coming yet, but the more the merrier. More the merrier. This is cool.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for mine. I'm still waiting for my invite.
Well, you can come with me. I'll buy a ticket. Come on.
All right. Albany, how far? That's a good 6 hours, 8 hours. In
there. Yeah, I'm looking at Nashville. That's about a 5-hour drive for me. And I've never been in that Coliseum. So may have to make a little date there to see the Cats. It's been a while for me to see arena football. It's I think Philadelphia sold eons ago was my last game. So
yeah, I'm hoping, as I said, I just want, there are other places I'd love to go to, but see some of the players and coaches that I do know, go see Cedric Bonner, who is currently an OC in Billings. And I looked and I'm like, man, it would take me forever to get there. Just to fly out, even flying out of Montreal, I was like, okay, I got to go through Denver and then I got to go into Billings. So it's like, is there an easier way to get to Montana? I guess not.
Yeah, I don't think there are any easy ways to get to Montana, are there?
No. I've never been, but just from what I saw,
even if you're in Saskatchewan, I don't think there's an easy way to get to Montana.
Yeah, at least you're closer.
That's true. How would you compare this relaunch versus some of the other relaunches?
This one's different. As I said, they've had really 5 years to get everything together. Again, yes, I have said that it hasn't been perfect, but it's unlike the other times, this is a brand new ownership group. It's new money. It's the most diverse that the AFL has ever been. When it comes to ownership, when it comes to coaching staffs, when it comes to the head office itself, it really is different. But what surprises me the most, though, is how these guys are very well connected. I don't know if you had heard the name Trevelle Gaines prior to the AFL coming back, but he's made a name for himself with training NFL superstars and stuff like that. He's involved in quite a bit. Commissioner Hutton is a very well-known and respected attorney. I know we've had other attorneys we've had other attorneys in the AFL who have been commissioner before. But just something about how their timeline and how they wanted to do this. Again, there may have been bumps in the road for them, but they have, they've been able to figure it out. And, the last one that we could really remember was the one for, back in when it collapsed in 2008, the AFL will still be paying the most when it comes to indoor football. Once the league starts. So it won't be 2008 money, which I think it was unattainable, really, when you're paying players six figures, but the AFL players now will be the highest paid indoor players in the sport.
So you already had said you're going to be at the kickoff in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure because you're going to be at the Arena Bowl.
Yes.
Bookend it. Any other specific trips that you plan on making in between?
I'd love to. I'd love to get out to Nashville again. I said I'd like to get out to Billings, but the problem is, it's funny. And this is a good problem to have. I got the Alouette season I have to deal with. So it's going to be a little bit tough, and it's only a 10-week season. So it's either go early before the season starts, or try to go within the where the Owls are on the road, or there's a bye week. I'm going to try to make more to one game to Albany if I can. But the wrinkle is that there are Thursday games this year, which were booked by the official broadcaster. So that's an interesting wrinkle. And a lot of them will be on Saturday, Sundays, which I love. But again, I got to work around the Alouette schedule and the stuff that I do for the Flight Deck podcast. So.
We were so close to perfection. I was on it. And all right. Now we're not on it.
So how's that?
That's perfect.
All right. So Tim, you said you're going to visit some games. How many cities do you think you can get to this year along with your Alouettes obligations?
I'm hoping four.
Okay.
We'll see. Albany at least. I said I would love to go to Billings, but I saw what the price was too to head out to Billings, and I was like, I don't know.
It's not worth it.
Well, it'd be something. I've never been to Montana, and I can, but.
Yeah, I look. Sometimes I look at going to Montana too, and it's like, man, that's how much it costs to go out there. I just would rather, maybe drive to Minneapolis, fly to Minneapolis, rent a car, and drive out there. Just cut that.
Oh, that's a long drive.
That is a long drive. Denver. I don't know. What would be closer?
Denver would be closer.
Okay.
I could go to Calgary. I think Calgary is – isn't Alberta border Montana?
Yeah.
Montana's a big state. It borders a lot of things.
So I think Minnesota too. I'm hoping Minnesota because they have been unofficially announced as the site of the Arena Bowl. Okay. So and the All-Star Game, which they're bringing back.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I don't even remember the All-Star game.
There have only been two of them.
That's probably why.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Now, do you think in the future they're going to bring back maybe some old markets along with the old names and colors? Is that because I saw Chicago Blitz? I'm sorry, Chicago Rush. Wrong league. Can we expect to see that maybe? Charlotte, I don't know. With Tampa, like Tampa Bay, is that ever, or the Tampa Bay Storm ever going to play again? Is that a legit possibility?
I don't see why not. I mean, you have to remember that some of these teams are currently in the IFL. So you,
I know Arizona, Jacksonville are. And
Yeah. But you know, what's funny is that that has not stopped the AFL from wanting to go back into the Arizona market.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, I mean, Chicago, yes. I think it all depends on what happens with how much they want to expand, how what they want to go as a maximum. I would love to see Tampa back because the Warren I-4 would be one of the best things that they could do is bring back that.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll see. It depends on where they would play. I don't know if they would play in Tampa at the Amalie Arena. I don't know, but if you notice that a lot of these divisions, at least most of the divisions, are very travel friendly. A lot of the ones obviously in the Midwest and stuff like that with the CIF teams, they're all basically in a three-state group where you can drive to each of these games with no problem. Similar to what it is in the Pacific Northwest. But I think, again, it depends on where they want to go. Chicago's online. You bring them in with Minnesota, maybe bring in a Detroit, bring in a Milwaukee, bring in some of these, as I said, bring in some of these legacy cities, but we'll see. Let's get through 2024 first.
Yeah, I know. We're looking into the future. Let's focus on 2024. What have you heard from ticket sales? Has there been any team that's just blowing it up? Gangbusters with season tickets, sponsorships, just media attention.
Honestly, I have not heard much. I know Nashville's trying. Nashville really seems to be pushing really, really well. Albany seems to be pushing really, really well. I'm not sure about the smaller markets. I really don't know. Minnesota, I have no clue about. So that'll be interesting. But again, we're talking now, I think it's rather than being a 12 to 15,000 seat arena that you're going to have to fill for, three quarters or for nine tenths of the league itself, you're going to be starting off with I think it's as little as 5,000. So I think it's going to be five up to whatever Minnesota is, because I think that Minnesota will be the largest arena in the league this year, as far as it, as capacity. So we'll see. As I said, will it be the days of John Bon Jovi and Elway, you know, on NBC where the, you know, you have 13, 14, 15,000, you know, packing it in to see the Colorado Rush, a crush in Denver? Probably not.
No.
But I again, we'll have to see what happens to this, but I haven't heard anything.
Yeah. And I kind of like how they're going back to, because I felt like the Arena Football League, when it started messing around with Elway and John Bon Jovi, was really promoting those guys and maybe not sometimes the players. And I think they're the ones that really should be showcased and appreciated in their respective cities. So hopefully we get to see some hometown heroes and, you know, some guys maybe start their career and evolve, or maybe some guys that like playing arena football and find their home in one of these markets.
Well, that's been a thing too. That what you just said there about them, you know, just promoting the league or the owners and not the players. That was always an issue. That was always an issue. They never really did much promotion. They didn't know how to do it right when it came to pushing their players. I mean, there's only so much that you can do, you know, with a video game or stuff like that. But it seems to be that they're, and I agree with you. I mean, will this be the stepping stone for some players? Yeah, sure. Yeah, but there's been always great relationships between the Arena League and the CFL. I'm sure there's going to be a good relationship with the UFL also, because I know there's a ton of UFL players that have come down to the AFL just to continue playing. And you know, they're currently in training camp. So we'll see what the rosters are like. So we'll find out. What is today's date? We're going to be finding out within the next 5 days what the rosters are going to be. So it's going to be very interesting to see who makes it and who doesn't, because I think it's 21-man rosters, if I'm not mistaken. And they have a small taxi squad. So we'll see.
Yeah, should be an exciting season. Any other of you guys checking out a game? Dave, Paul? You making any pit stops?
Albany would be the spot could go, but it's not looking likely at this.
Yeah, point. That's like me. Nashville will be the closest, I think, and then I could make a weekend, you know, depending on what else is going down there. I would like to. I mean, I would go down there just to see the Cats, because, like I said, it's been a long time since I've seen arena football. And I know I live in Indy. I'm going to have an indoor football league, but that's totally a different animal. They don't even have the rebound nets. And, you know, arena football is the OG. It's what I fell in love with many, many years ago as a teenager in Orlando and Tampa Bay. So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Dave, for you, wouldn't Minnesota be another option for you considering where you're located?
Oh no. Minnesota's a 2-day drive. Okay. I get my, you know, James Bond ski car to drive
invisible car
across
those damn lakes.
it's too bad Fort Wayne doesn't have a team, or they didn't stick a team in Detroit, you know, or Indianapolis if they came here instead of the IFL, but yeah, or Columbus, that'd be another nice city to have. I know mm-hmm. they flirted with a lot of teams in the past, but yeah.
Mark, are you wearing a Los Huepos hat from Worcester?
Yes, I am.
Look at that.
It was $5 about a month ago.
Traitor.
Look at that. Love it. Like that hat.
Yeah, Mark, you asked me if I was planning to hit any games. Albany's only a 3-hour drive for me, so it is entirely doable, depends on my PA schedule this summer. It looks like I may be spending every non-Monday evening this summer in Brockton.
Yeah. You know, I also may be back in Jersey to see my brother, and he lives maybe a half hour from Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've been to Trenton a few times to see indoor football type games, and I've been disappointed with crowds. I'm a little hesitant to go there and be disappointed again, but
it's growing pains. It's growing pains.
If they prove me wrong, then I'll eat my words.
Now, one of the things, I don't know if you were going to bring it up, guys, was, I keep mentioning it, is the television broadcasts, you know, the TV contracts that they've had. It's funny. I was talking earlier about 2010 and how much similarities there are between these two leagues, these two iterations of the league, is that, you know, back then in 2010, it was 16 teams and they came about with a contract with the NFL Network. That's exactly what's happening now too. You know, they're going to have all their game. They're going to have, and this is crazy in itself. They signed a contract with the NFL Network and it's already at 30 plus games. That was originally, that's what was announced. You know, so we're talking enough arena football on TV in 2024, which will equal basically what it was for the NBC days. And that was regional games. So, and from there, I don't know if how many of you guys are near these stations, but Gray TV was also signed on for the non-NFL network games. Don't know what the schedule is going to be like, but I know Gray TV is in quite a few markets across the country. So I know they'll be putting games on that too. And there are others coming up. They haven't been announced yet, from my understanding, but there's supposed to be, I think, another streamer that's going to be announced. There may be an international partner that's announced. But you got to admit, guys, if you do not have clout, you don't have contacts, there's no way in hell you'd be getting the NFL Network. None. And that's what impresses me so much about the ownership group of the league, because, you know, 30 plus games, you know, 2010, it was just one a week and the playoffs. So it was 16 and maybe maximum 20. This is 30 plus already. You know, you have a Thursday schedule, you got a Saturday schedule, and you have a Sunday schedule, which include double headers.
A lot of good football to watch on TV.
Mm-hmm. You're talking 30 games over 10 weeks, not 30 games over 16 weeks.
You are correct, sir.
The Gray TV, is that going to be like, local or?
It is local.
Being a knucklehead, I'm unfamiliar with the Gray TV.
Trust me too. As soon as I heard it, I was...
I can't tell you what Gray TV is either.
I don't know if it is in your market. You'll have to go and see what it is. I know that it's when they announced...
It's gray.
Oh, I know. But they
Network.
This episode.
But it's like the what?
The Dumont Network.
I don't know that one either.
Don't. It was really old. Believe it or not, it was lamer than mine.
Oh, okay.
That's really low bar to hit.
Well, good. You can make a YouTube short and post that on the site, Dan.
It's already marked.
Okay. Hey, the Dumont Network, I think, was the first to show NFL games, if I recall right.
It was also the Pro Wrestling Network for a long time.
Yeah, so okay. Laugh all you want, but there was.
I'm laughing because
shared a moment.
I'm only laughing because Tim was like, "I don't know what the."
The Dumont Network.
The what?
It's in different areas across the U.S. It's like a regional thing. It's like a regional thing, like the CW, or.
I know God. The CW.
Yeah. Well, you got with the commish, so you got to be like, listen, you know, number one fan here. Lowly in Montreal, like, you gotta help me out here.
NFL
you
Network.
Gotta give me a legal way to watch arena football.
I do. NFL Network.
Yeah,
NFL exactly. Network. That's the plus about the NFL Network. It's shown worldwide.
Yeah.
And the thing is that's gonna air when it's gonna air when there's no football on. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know you're saying you gotta pay NFL for it. Network, too, like, but it's NFL Network and NFL Plus, so it's gonna be on streaming also immediately.
And you're going to want to do that because that's going to show that you're supporting the NFL when they go, well, why did you? Oh, I see.
If Jerry Jones, like, you know, his son pops his pimple or something, they're going to cut to that in the NFL Network.
I'm hearing it's different than it was in 2010. I'm hearing it's different than it wasn't going to be what it was in 2010. And you're right to say that because, you know, I was at Arena Bowl New Orleans. And the Arena Bowl in New Orleans was pushed back, and again, the kickoff was pushed back an hour and a half, or something like that, or an hour, just to see Johnny Manziel's very first preseason game. That's how the AFL was treated, even for the championship game. You know, CBS Sports Network didn't do that, NBC didn't do that. TNN didn't do that. You know what I mean? So it,
that's so bizarre. And it's like, what was Johnny Manziel drafted? Like 10th or 12th or whatever. You know, it's not like they're cutting to the first overall picks stuff. I don't know.
But you know this, NFL Network shows preseason games. They show ton of preseason games. They pull, you know, they pull in their a local broadcast, or they'll do a national broadcast, and it's like, think of Johnny Manziel, blah blah blah. I mean, I know, you know, I'm sure you guys know how I feel about Johnny Manziel, especially with him in Montreal. I'm glad he's not here in Montreal.
I don't think he's anywhere. That was, what do you mean?
Great documentary on Johnny Manziel. I went into it going, I don't know a ton about Johnny Manziel, and I came out going, I wish I knew less about Johnny Manziel. I didn't like him going in, and I liked to be even less coming out.
Mm-hmm. It was not helpful. It's not a helpful documentary.
I don't think. But as I said, TV. It's a giant coup. People absolutely. it's just how many connections that these guys have. So, Zenith is their is their provider for the helmets. BSN Sports is a subsidiary for their uniforms. You know, they can say they wear Nike as their on field coaching gear and players gear. So, I mean, it's through BSN, but it's still Nike. So, but again, you know, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. If you complain about it, you can complain about it. I don't care. You know, you know, I mean, it's, I'm just looking for football. I'm just looking for football. I want to see it done right. And that's all that matters with these guys. And I think, again, from what I've heard, what I've seen, when I talk to them, no doubt that they'll do well this year.
Well, that's fantastic, because we're sick of having you on to talk about AFL, new AFLs, Tim.
I'm tired of talking about new AFLs also.
Don't listen to him. He loves having you on. He's talking out of
it. I do.
Come on. Tim doesn't only talk new AFLs. He also talks the end of old AFLs. That's
right. So we got two bookings every time.
Yeah. Just depends on how many years and what type of garbage is going on. So
yeah. Now Tim, arena fan, I know you're looking for riders. How's that coming along? Have you picked up beat riders or guys to cover the team in each market or close?
Not for all markets, and that's always been a challenge either way, even though arena fan's been around for 26 years. There's always been issues. I mean, it's like the AFL. It's kind of like what the AFL does. You know, we had a lot of writers at the very beginning, and then a lot of them did graduate to do other things, because we've had some, you know, in my opinion, some really good names who have gone on to do bigger and better things.
Like Stadium Journey.
Yeah. I mean, we've had former executives, and we actually even had a former mayor who wrote for us back in the day.
Who was he mayor of?
I know he wrote for Oklahoma. He wrote for Oklahoma City. So I'm trying to remember who it was, but it's been a while. That's the thing. It's been a while.
That doesn't go up. It's Oklahoma.
Yeah. But no, I mean, if we're open, we'd prefer to have a local guy or gal write for us. You do have to understand that it is a volunteer thing.
Yes.
It is a volunteer thing for Arena Fan. But we will get you press passes and whatnot. But if you are interested, you can either, you know, DM us on social, or you can email me directly at tim.capper@arenafan.com. We do have some people who are interested. I've just got to get back to it. It's just a matter of doing it. I got to find some time. I got to find some time to get back to these people and to set things up, which I started to do yesterday. So by all means, yeah, join us.
Yeah, no, that's how I got started covering the New Jersey Gladiators in 2001. Did that for a couple of years. Then it was Cincinnati Swarm. Then it was the Indiana Firebirds.
And, yep.
So that's how I started. First press pass, you know, first time in the locker room,
Parking. And you're still there. Just do a search for your name. The site's back full active mode. So
yeah, I wish there was a I wish there was a team in Indianapolis. I'd help you guys out, but there's there's not.
I know.
Oh well.
It's okay. As I said, I think a lot of people are like, "Oh, what do you mean I got to do this for free?" Well, you got to start somewhere, and if you're in the city,
yeah. Plus, if it's ten, I look at it this way: it's going to be 5 weeks. Some of these teams are playing 3 to 5 home games, correct?
Anywhere from 3 to 6.
So, I mean, you know,
I just said it's a very unbalanced.
Yeah, you go to a game every other week. You know, it's. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world, exactly. Especially if, you're married and you want to get out of the house away from your wife or vice versa, your husband, or if you have a roommate like Dan.
Yes. Okay.
I'm married and I don't want to leave her. So I would stop projecting.
It's the new divorce. It's the new divorce. Go watch this arena football for 3 hours, Mark.
I'm gonna go over here.
Yeah. My wife's like, "Are you cheating on me?" No, I'm checking out the Nashville Cats. What are you talking about?
I'm watching a bunch of guys slap each other on the butt and throw football around. What's the problem?
What about you guys? I mean, I know a lot of you aren't fully into arena football, stuff like that, but it's, and I know you guys concentrate on minor league sports and stuff like that, but for you guys, what were your initial reactions? Did you really care when you heard about it? We gotta get Tim on.
I did, and the first thing I did was go to my friend who is the son of the former owners of the Philadelphia Soul and go. And then get the unfortunate message back, like, "Yeah, not us." So I was like, "Oh,
yeah,
well, never mind." And then it was weird because I had to walk away when you guys were talking about promoting. I remember when they were on their back to backs, the Philadelphia Soul. I heard a commercial on radio once for that title game, one time. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a commercial on TV. I saw maybe one news report on it locally, nothing. And I haven't heard one other person other than this group here on this show mention anything about the Philadelphia Soul. Then I saw the logo and I was supremely disappointed. I didn't even know the Trenton thing, mostly because I kept going to the website looking for an update and I couldn't see one. So
yeah, as I said,
I got them on Arena Fan though.
I know, as I said, there have been issues. There have been issues that still need to be fixed.
Growing pains, like you said.
Yeah, growing pains. Mm-hmm. And for all we know, some of these teams the commissioner did say when I first spoke with him last April, is that, there's some teams that they probably still wanted to rebrand for whatever reason or make some slight modifications. I don't know if Louisiana or Chicago was slightly redone to Philadelphia. Nashville got their old stuff back after wanting to be originally they were going to be called the Nashville Boom, as they announced, as I found out a couple weeks ago. Boom. But they're able to get the
I like that.
Yeah, they're able to actually to buy because I guess it has some sort of pedigree within the city itself. They were able to purchase the rights to the Nashville Cats name. So that's why the Nashville Cats came back. But I think, I don't know if like for Philadelphia, maybe there is still an issue when it comes to trademarking. I mean, even though they did buy the name for it out of bankruptcy, maybe there's still a name.
Yeah, I was going to say, based on the rest of the conversation that I cannot really talk, it wasn't joyous.
Mm.
So yeah. I don't know if there isn't a... I was going to say publishing, but this isn't music. You know what I mean? As mm-hmm. you said, a copyright or a trademark that they're like, well, you can name them this, like the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
You can name them the Winnipeg Jets. You got to come up with something new. Okay, so we'll just do an S. It was like a electric shock to see mm-hmm. the colors
like everything. It was like, oh, that looks, everything looks about the same. Something's off. That feels weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not, once it starts, the game start playing, I'm sure I'll be like, okay.
Well, it's like the Philadelphia Wings. They changed their logo from what they normally had. How'd you take that?
Now, if the, I hate it. It's not true. Of course, it's not as good. I haven't bought a new jersey, if that's what you're talking about. Yeah. Like, I haven't
That was the original 1974 logo, too.
I have not gone and bought even a shirt because I'm like, eh. But that's also partly because they suck like a lot. And it's usually fine after dinner, but not a whole lacrosse season.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. But I mean, to answer your question, Tim, I am excited. I was sad when the Arena Football League dropped. I know they had their, you know, they had their issues, but it felt like they were growing 6 teams, and then they were going to try to get 8 teams, and you heard rumors. And, you know, I had friends who went to games and said really great things about Atlantic City drew incredibly well. I never thought I would see that. And then we live in a world where you have teams that play in one league, indoor football league, and then they're in the National Arena League or they're in the AIFA. And then you got some Yahoo trying to start a team in Fort Wayne or Evansville and he's screwing over players. So I want to see a nice, stable Arena Football League. OG. Yeah. To come back and say, hey, this is the place you play in, and we're not going to have, you know, we're going to set some, you know, standards, some normalcy. Because I think the last few years, yeah, teams are just switching leagues. You're right. It's an alphabet league. It gets confusing. There's a lot of people who I talk to who think we're getting an Arena Football League team. And I said, well, it's not. It's different. And then you have to sit there and explain it to them. So, you know, Arena Football is just such a unique entry into the football code. That I was definitely excited that it came back, and I hope it's here for many, many more years.
What I'm surprised about is the animosity that for coming from the indoor football community. I've never seen a bunch of people just be such complainers and whiners, and it's like, you know, for me, it's just a matter of. I just, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's just how divisive it's been, you know, it's like Hatfields and the McCoys. You know what
Tim,
I mean? Yes.
It's like the new Ghostbuster movies. I'm serious, Paul. I was not on Reddit for the longest time. And when this fourth in the line was announced, I'm like, I'm going to go on Reddit, make sure I what to avoid and what not. It's the worst movie that's ever come out, apparently. Except it's not, because I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. I don't get it. I've only seen it 7 times. What do I know?
Oh, you have seen Frozen Empire?
Oh, 7 times.
I like Frozen Empire.
I loved it. It was one of the, you know what? That's another podcast, but yes.
That is another podcast. Yes.
The quick version is the first time I saw it, I said, I don't think it's long enough. I think it needs to be a little longer. And it's like an hour and 55 minutes. And then I saw it the second time. I was like, nothing wrong with this. This is great. It was fun. I don't know what anybody wants anymore. You get the football league back.
It's a good analogy. No, it's a perfect analogy.
Your sport's back. They're not changing the rules that much. They're going to add a little bit to it. This is a starting line, you know. Again, all jokes aside, Philly's not playing in Philly. They're going to start in Trenton. You got to start somewhere. Where else are you going to go? I'm on board for the first. We just talked about it with the PWHL.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking the same thing. There was no identity. There's no real stakes involved, and yet it's been some of the best hockey I've watched, and I'm invested.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the majority. I'm sure there's always, you know, there's always contrarians or just sad that just people that are like, eh, you know, it's the same kind of starting line. It's just, I was excited when it came up. And then there was kind of a lull because I was like, eh.
And then I'm looking at the date. I'm like, all right, 10 days. I'm down. I'll be watching. You can't knock it till you try it, folks.
No, it's true. I just said, give it a chance. Give it a chance. I understand that people, it's not the same team. It's not the same logo. You know, this, that's that, and the other. Certain things aren't out. Again, I've already said it. I think twice already. The launch has not been perfect. But we're still coming up on kickoff.
At least we're not in the Challenger. Okay, that launch was a problem.
Yeah, that's a hell of an analogy.
It is a hell of an analogy, but yes, it works. Yeah,
but
I'm sorry.
Look at Albany. Remember, they moved to Indiana, then you got the Conquest, and they brought the Firebirds back, and then they left, and then they had the Empire, then the Fire. Some of these logos may come back, folks, so be patient. You never know.
I'm just mad nobody brought back the Fire Ants, because that's a great name. Wasn't the arena, but
you're talking RHI, aren't you?
RHI.
I am, but I was like, somebody needs to readopt that. That's a great name.
The Rock and Rollers. That was terrible. Well, RHI. Wow, you brought back a blast from the past there.
And listen, at least KISS can't have another football league team.
Oh God.
Did you ever see that documentary? First and KISS.
Fourth and Loud.
Or Fourth. It wasn't bad. It really was sort of one of those, like, first time I saw the Arena Football League kind of, taking like a little soap opera kind of atmosphere. Some good shots.
This documentary will be a lot better.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But if you want to hear some interesting stories of a guy who had to deal with the whole scripted thing of Fourth and Loud. During the pandemic, I did a historical series of podcasts called AFL Rewind. And I brought in, former executives, former players, former owners, former commissioners. Go listen to the JJ Raderink episode. I make sure that I bring it up because I wanted to know what he went through during that time when he was with the LA KISS. It's a great listen. It's a great listen. The entire series is.
I'm not the oldest guy on this show, but I've been around a long time. And if anything, if my experience with the band KISS is, they should stay in music and comic books. Probably not wrestling and football.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, all right, but guys, again, since we have rambled on.
How much is KISS? Anyways.
I can tell you it was $300 million. They just sold everything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They just sold the rights to everything. They did that whole farewell tour, did the AI stuff, and said, all right, bye. I'm done. Gene. I didn't expect that from Gene. I really didn't.
Not while there was still money to be had. All right. So since we have digressed to roller hockey and KISS,
let me just add. I just want to say, and I liked KISS when I was younger, but KISS also still has the distinction of having the lowest rated segment in wrestling history on TNT. Moving on.
So stay in your lane, KISS.
Stay in your lane, Gene. I'm saying.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap things up now since we've really gone far, far off our topic. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Tim, thanks for joining us. Do you want to take a minute and promote your ventures? Well, you have been all through the hour, but promote them again.
You can follow Arena Fan on Twitter or X. At Arena Fan. You can head over to arenafan.com to check out all the history of the Arena Football League and more. We are also bringing back a league first. We're bringing back our Pick'em games for the very first time in a couple of years. So that and any type of fantasy, the Arena Fan was the first place to have any type of fantasy that was offered to fans. We're on social media everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We're hoping to bring back the podcast in some way, shape, or form. I guess really just have to decide within the next week what we're going to do. It'll probably be under the AFL Rewind banner. And but if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Repact. That's REPPACT.
Nice. Dan, where can our listeners follow you in your adventures?
Dan Law 83.
All right. You don't sound too adventurous there.
Dan Law 83.
Much better, yes.
Dan Law 83.
Mark, where can our listeners follow you? And you have any stadium journeys planned for the next fortnight?
They can follow me at Ballpark Hunter. That's on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube. Check out some cool videos that I have posted. I'm checking out Indiana University Baseball. I finally get down to that stadium, Indiana State Baseball, before all their players leave the transfer portal like their basketball team. And it's minor league baseball season, so got some stuff lined up, but it's college baseball right now, just some short day trips. You know, the weather's getting really nice here. We had 4 inches of rain in about 48 hours, and now it's 80 degrees. So waiting for Mother Nature to cooperate. So college baseball is on the horizon for me.
Never happens.
And Dave, where can our listeners follow you, and what do you got on the agenda?
Twitter and Instagram at ProFan9. Tomorrow I'm going to be at the Toronto Blue Jays watching for the first time from the Sportsnet Grill. So that's going to be different. Haven't done that before. And hoping to get in to see Toronto FC and redo our stadium journey review. So, yeah, have a peek see at ProFan9.
All right. Let's see. You follow my stadium journeys on Twitter and Instagram at PuckManRI. For me, Mark, you said it was minor league baseball season. For me, it's still college baseball season. You can find me at Murray Stadium on the campus of Brown University. I'll be announcing their weekend series coming up. And next weekend, actually, for stadium journey, I think I'm covering actually a couple other Ivy League ballparks. I think I'll be at Yale one day and at Harvard another day. So we're going to wrap up the Ivy League while the season's still going on. And like I said, Puckman RI for that. And remember, you can find our stadium reviews, our news items, and feature stories on our website, stadiumjourney.com. It's ranking season for us. So we just put out our top 25 college basketball arena rankings. Our college hockey's coming out this weekend. We got NHL, NBA rankings coming up. So it is the season for that. So check all those out, stadiumjourney.com. Social media channels at Stadium Journey. To find the Stadium Journey podcast, HIAC Talk Radio Network, wherever you look for your favorite podcasts. Video simulcast can be found on Stadium Journey's YouTube page. And we're live. Join us every other Monday night at 7 Eastern on Dan's Media Empire channels. So I go to his
Not
Instagram. His
o'clock.
Facebook is at 8 o'clock? Okay, 8
Not
o'clock.
Not 8 o'clock.
No, 7:30. Split the difference. Well, look for us. We'll tell you when we'll be on. We'll be back in 2 weeks. That puts us at April 29th, and we don't have a topic picked out yet, but I know it's going to be awesome. So as always, thanks everyone for your support, and thanks again, Tim, for joining us. For Dan, Mark, and Dave, this is Paul wishing you all safe journeys and close games.